1. The first epistle of John, chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. May we pray. Gracious Father, may you bless thy word, open it up to our hearts. Help us to rejoice that we have a copy of God's word that we can study and meditate upon and feed our souls. In Christ's name we pray this morning. Amen. If you notice, the first three verses makes one sentence. The period is not until after verse 3. So verses 1, 2, and 3 is one sentence. And we're going to go through verse 1 this morning by God's help. But I want you to meditate and study 1 John, as Dave mentioned this morning. And it's such a blessing so far to me, just reading the first verse, studying it out. That which was from the beginning, there is the first phrase we're going to be dealing with. It has to do with the incarnation of the human flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Hebrews 2:16, "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." The seed of Abraham. In verse 17 it says, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." So we see here that from the beginning is referring to his, from creation up to his incarnation. Now, as we read this here, some people look at this as the same as John chapter 1 in the Gospel, where it says, "In the beginning, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," in John 1:1. But he's talking about basically in there of the beginning of creation backwards to preexistence of Christ. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that's so important that we keep that in mind. There's two beginnings, from the beginning, in the beginning. We'll be looking at this as we go on. But I want to emphasize that. One looks forward, one looks backwards. And I think in the Epistle of John, he's looking forward to the creation until the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ in human flesh. In John's Gospel, he's looking back from creation backward to the deity of the fellowship Jesus had as the Word. He's called the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the fellowship they had with each other. And now we come down to 1 John 1 through 3 and John 1, 14 and 15, which it shows the incarnation. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." This is the great story of Christ Jesus. He became flesh, human flesh. "And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." It says in verse 15, "John bare witness of him and Christ, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." And showing here, he testified of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul wrote in Philippians, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." He came to die for our sins. Now, John and the apostles, as we're going to see, were witnesses of these things. One of the things we're going to see as we go through this first verse, we're going to see what John witnessed, what the apostles witnessed, and through the Holy Spirit, they wrote these things that we can have fellowship with them and with the Father and the Son through the writings. As you read the Holy Scriptures, we have fellowship with God the way they did. We enjoy their witness, what they saw, what they seen and touched. We're going to be entering into that this morning. And what a blessing that is. And then in 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Notice this. God was manifested in the flesh. That's going back to John 1:14 and 15. Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. You know that glorious day when he was there before them and he was blessed them, and all of a sudden he started going up, going up, going up. They saw him received up into glory. Can you imagine what a blessing that must have been as they went up from there? So from the beginning, so is his incarnation, the beginning of the Christian era. And we see from the start of the Lord's ministry, it mentions this word. Notice John 8:25. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto him, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Referring to his ministry, from the beginning of his ministry. They said unto him, who art thou? And again he says, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, emphasizing that he was with them from the beginning of his ministry. And in John 15:27, and ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. The beginning of what? The beginning of his ministry. So from the beginning can refer from the creation forward, and sometimes it refers to the beginning of Christ's ministry with his apostles. And these are the things that they were witnesses of. But these things have I told you, John 16:4, but these things have I told you that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. So these are the things that the Lord told them from the beginning, at the beginning. From the beginning is found six times in the Epistle of John alone. If you study the Epistle of John, you'll find this quoted six times. First one is in 2:7. We're talking about from the beginning, basically from the beginning of his ministry. He began his ministry around 30 A.D., and he was crucified around 33 A.D. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Chapter 2, verse 13 of 1 John. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Notice, from the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning. Heard from the beginning of his ministry, that we should love one another. Now, John was the disciple whom Jesus loved, who leaned on Christ's breast. Chapter 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Satan sinned in the beginning of creation, in creation forward. He sinned, and the fall came, took place. And he's showing again. It's not going back to eternity, but from creation forward. And then remember the verse that Christ quoted in John 8:44, ye of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye would do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. When he speaks from the beginning, he's talking about the beginning of creation in the garden from that point forward. He was a liar and a murderer from the very beginning. And that's the verses that's used. If you study the context of the Word of God from the beginning, remember, it refers to the point of creation forward from the beginning. If you think of John's Gospel, in the beginning, in John 1:1, in the beginning God created heavens and the earth, that's talking about creation back to pre-existence of God, pre-existence of Christ, the fellowship they had one with another. As John is testifying of these things, he's bringing these things to encourage us and strengthen our faith. in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning shows His deity and creation, the beginning of time and creation. In the beginning was Jesus Christ, it before creation. He was there as the everlasting God, the everlasting Son, the eternal Son of God. He goes back to eternity, Brother Dave, back to pre-existence. He existed. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Who's he referring to? He's referring to the Logos. You know, we're going to get that when we close out the sermon this morning, Logos. But He was there in eternity. So we see His deity in Colossians 1:15. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created. Notice this. For by Jesus Christ was all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. So everything you see of the galaxy, the stars, the angels, the spirit beings, they were all created by Jesus Christ. All that were created by Him. That's the God whom we serve. We serve an awesome God, an infinite God. And John wants us to come into fellowship with God the Father and with God the Son through the agency of the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, that we come to fellowship God and have knowledge of God. And that this is something we should be praying about, that we can study the Scriptures and God would apply His Word to our hearts, that we can come on a closer walk with God. I hope and pray each one of you want to have more fellowship with God in your personal life. You want to grow as a Christian. You want to know more of God in your daily walk with God. You want to be more like Christ. You want to see Him in your daily study, in your daily meditation. Lord, show Yourself unto me. Show Yourself unto me. And He does it through His Word. As Roger, Dave, and I emphasize, study God's Word. Read the Word of God and study it and meditate upon it. He goes on to say, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. That verse alone shows that He was not created. He's the eternal God because He created all things, and by Him all things consist. That's the Lord. That's talking about Jesus Christ, beloved, whom we worship, whom we come in here to the congregation as we assemble together as a congregation. We come here this morning to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and to raise up our voices and to praise His holy name. What a blessing we have, and that is such a blessing. The book of Hebrews in chapter 1, verse 2 says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Who made the worlds? The Son. So you see, the Son and the Logos are identical. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He created all things. And it says the Son created all things. So that means the Word, Logos and the Son are the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who became flesh in time to be reconcile us, save us from what? Our sins, and bring us where? To glory. Hallelujah. You know, yesterday I got to missing mother some, and I got a little cast down, and then I went in and started studying this verse, and the Lord just lifted me up again. You know, you read the Word of God. If you get discouraged and get cast down, get into God's Word and pray the Holy Spirit will lift your spirit back up. And the Lord reminded me, son, soon you're going to be with her. You're going to be with her. I'm coming again. And I may take you out of this world before then. Either way, we will see each other again. Our loved ones, we will see again. Beloved, that's why the hope we have, that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. As I said one week, we can anchor our destiny on those promises. Beloved, I'll die believing that. I believe that with all my heart. Some people say, well, how do you know there's life after death? How do you know these things are real? Because God says so in His Word. And the Word was written by the finger of God, just like the tablets were written. The Holy Scriptures are God-inspired. God said it, and that settles it, whether anyone believes it or not, Brother D. Amen. Amen. We will see our loved ones again. And I know Satan wants to make us doubt, wants to bring us down, wants to discourage us this time. But let us rejoice. Let us rejoice. We serve the God who says, Jesus says, God is the God of the living, not the dead, because all live unto Him. In other words, Jacob and Abraham and all of them were still living. They were with the Lord. They wasn't dead. Their body was in the graveyard, but they lived unto Him, even though we didn't know that. That's just like our loved ones that are dead. They're living. They're alive, beloved. Let us rejoice in that this morning. This is the good news of the gospel that we rejoice in. This is the hope that we have, an anchor for the soul. Paul said, don't be discouraged as others are discouraged, because we have the hope. We have the glorious appearing of Christ coming, and we will be together one day again. I tell you, I rejoice in these promises of God. And when I get down, the devil tries to get me feeling sorry for myself and get me discouraged. I look to the promises of God and encourage myself with the Word. That's how you do it, beloved, through the Holy Spirit. We can do nothing apart from the Holy Spirit. We cannot pray without the Spirit. It says pray in the Spirit. It says walk in the Spirit. Everything we do, rely upon the Holy Spirit. And if you'll study the ministry of Christ in the book of Acts chapter 10, I think verse 38, it says Christ went about in all doing good through the Holy Spirit. In His human flesh, He depended upon the Holy Spirit to leave us an example. As we walk the Christian life and live the Christian life, we must do the same, depending upon the ministry of the Spirit in our life. Because Jesus said, without Me, you can do nothing. And He works through us, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit uses the Word of God to speak to us. As we study the Word of God, He works through our lives and encourages us. What a blessing we have, beloved, to read the Word of God, to study the Word of God. Don't let a day go by for us. That's one thing I'm glad that Brother Roger and Brother Dave are also emphasize, the importance of reading and studying the Word of God daily. Not once a week, once a month, once when you feel like it. Read it daily with the intention. Author W. Pink, I read one of his statements one time. He said, if you read the Word of God faithfully, he said, God will convict you of sin. If you read the Word of God and you're not ever convicted of sin, you're not really reading by the Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit would deal with you as you read the Word of God and show you things in your life. And I'm grateful for that. It's a roadmap. It's a mirror. It shows us things in our lives that we need to confess to our Lord. So we see also in verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power. He's upholding all things, the universe. I mean, I've seen some of these pictures they brought back of these telescopes or this one of those things that's flying out in space. They're taking all those pictures of the galaxies and things and how beautiful they are. He upholds everything, the sun and the moon and the stars. Our very heartbeat is all being upheld by the one we worship, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, what a Savior we serve. You know, sometimes we lose sight of how great the Lord is and how omnipotent He is. He's an omnipotent God, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And it says, and by the word of His power, when He had Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. It says in verse 8, but unto the Son He said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness and a scepter of thy kingdom. And thou, Lord, in the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. Who's the Lord there? It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved. The Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 11, they shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture, thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool? Oh, brother, this is talking about the ministry and the manifestation of Christ as the human flesh, as we're going to see as we go through this message this morning. How we should rejoice in God, Brother Dave, Brother Roger. We should rejoice in the Lord our Savior. Now we're coming down to the part of the verse which says, he says, that which we have heard, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Now we're going to deal with this part of the verse, which we have heard. John is talking about some things which he had heard. And this is a verb, it's an action word, and it's in the perfect tense. In Greek, refers to a process completed in past time having present results. He stresses the details of the action. He wrote the letter in about 90 A.D. and heard the Lord in about 33 A.D. So it's been 60 years since he heard the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how could he? He's 90 years old now. He was around 30 when he heard the Lord. How could he remember all those things at 90 years of age? Well, there's one reason why. One reason why. It's because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In John 14:26, it says, Jesus, when he was writing John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit, under inspiration, brought to John the Apostle's memory the things that they heard and heard him speak and teach. If you study John's gospel, you'll notice that John gave us some teachings of Christ, and he emphasized more of the teachings of Christ than he did the miracles of Christ. But if you'll read John's gospel, you'll notice John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 are not mentioned by any of the other three apostles. It's not in Matthew, it's not in Mark, and it's not in Luke. Those chapters are only in the gospel of John. John emphasized teaching, and it's a profound book, the gospel of John and the epistles of John. But the Holy Spirit superintended the recording of the historical facts so as to guarantee an infallible record of our Lord's life. He was under control, so everything that John wrote was under the superintendence of the Holy Spirit. Everything. Remember, the Scriptures are the God-breathed words of God. Every word. We say that John wrote the epistle of God, but who actually wrote the epistle of John? The Holy Spirit gave John the words to pen by inspiration. So everything you read in the Scriptures, remember, it's the words of God. Words. Every word was inspired of God. And this is to build our faith. Our faith is not in John the Apostle, but in the God who gave us the Word. We can believe in the Scriptures. We put our faith in the Scriptures. Like I say, you can anchor your soul in the Word of God, in the promises of God. Sometimes we go through trials and tribulations, and we're burdened with prayer, and you take the promises of God. Lord, I'm claiming this promise for my daughter, for my son. I'm claiming this promise for my own soul, and take it before God, and God blesses your heart and soul through those promises. That's how we are strengthened in the Lord, beloved. How we're strengthened in the Lord. It's amazing. Holy Spirit takes. It says in Acts 10:38, I quoted this verse earlier. The apostles were witnesses of what? They were witnesses of what Jesus taught. The doctrines, as we're going to see what he taught. And verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. They say, we are witnesses. And that's why John telling us this morning, he's witnessing to what he saw. Now remember, as we get into this, I'll show you a few more things. They heard his teaching by the sense. They heard his teaching by the hearing sense. In other words, remember, the false teachers was teaching that Christ was only a phantom. He didn't have a real body. So you can understand the reason John is emphasizing hearing. He heard the voice teaching that it was through the actual senses that we have, the eyes, seeing, hearing, and touching. We use that. We can touch something that's real, that's solid. This pulpit is solid. And they saw Jesus. They heard Jesus. They touched Jesus, as we're going to go through here. They knew he was a real person, had a real body, tangible, and he wasn't a phantom or a ghost. And this is what he's dealing with in the heresies that was being taught back then. So it's a blessing once we get into this to see that of the Lord Jesus Christ. They heard his teaching by the hearing of sense. Teaching, here's some of the things that Christ taught. He taught about God in John 4:24. He taught about the kingdom of God in Matthew 6:33. He's teaching on prayer and fasting, Matthew 6:1-15. Discipleship, John 8:31. on his second coming, Matthew 24. On the Beatitudes, Matthew 5. Teaching about his own death, Matthew 26 and 27. About the Holy Spirit, John 14, 16 through 17. Teaching about the church, Matthew 16, 18 and 18, 18. Teaching about the future, Matthew 24. And teaching about moral issues, chapter 5. So we see here, they heard him teach the Beatitudes as he went and taught. He taught out of a ship. He taught on a mountain. He taught in different places. They were there hearing him teach. They heard him personally. They are telling us, John is witnessing to us, what he heard, what the apostles heard. We are witnesses. And this verifies the truth of the Word of God. Now remember, this is the hearing sense, and he was telling us about what they heard. I can imagine, here was the Son of God. Here was God manifested in flesh, teaching in their presence, teaching them the things of God, God himself. Wow, what an honor they had. They had an honor that we will never have. But the way we share it into their blessings is by reading the Word and receiving that through the Holy Spirit into our hearts. Their witness, the truth of God's Word, is brought to our hearts, and the Holy Spirit makes it real in your life. And beloved, that's what you need to be praying for in your life. What a blessing. Now we come down to the next part, which we have seen with our eyes. You say, why does he use that word, our eyes? He's referring to, we saw him with our physical sense of seeing, our eyes. We saw him. I see Bill back there. Bill's not a ghost. He's a real person. They saw Christ in their everyday life as he went about in his life teaching and doing many things, as we'll see. They saw him. They saw him. And it's a verb also, and it's in the perfect tense. It's the same, something that happened in the past with the present results. It's still in their memory. It's still in their memory. Some of the things they saw Christ do, they saw him cast out demons. Matthew 4, 24. You know, he went about, he cast out demons, and many of those that were possessed with demons and devils. He healed a withered hand. These are some of the miracles that he did back then. He calms the storm. You remember the story with when he was in the ship sleeping and they woke him up. Oh, Lord, we're going to perish. We're going to perish. We're going to perish. And he woke up. He rebuked them for that little faith. And he said, storm, wind, be still. And there was a great calm. And they were amazed. Even the sea and the winds obey him. Why? Because he was God, man in the flesh. He had the power not only to create the world, he created the wind, he created the waters, he created the seas, he created the land. The same God who created could stop it and say, be calm. That must have been a blessing to see that. To see the storm. You ever been out on a boat when the storm's coming up? Boy, I tell you what, you get a little nervous. My brother-in-law was in the ocean over there in New Orleans, and we was out fishing, and the storm came up with a little bitty small 12-foot boat. That boat started shaking and jumping around. And I can imagine when the waves was getting up, I didn't know if he was going to make it back to the shore or not. I can imagine how they felt. Then all of a sudden they woke the Lord. Lord, we're going to perish. And he says, be calm. Don't you know they just stood back and just, wow. They were amazed at what they saw. And John is helping us to enjoy that. Through their witness, through the preaching of the Word and through his teaching, we can share that same blessing that they shared through the ministry of the Word, through the Holy Spirit into our hearts. Beloved, read the Word of God, faith believing. Don't read it just as a story. Read it and pray for the Spirit. Lord, apply this to my heart so I can rejoice. I can see Christ there calming the sea by faith. By faith. You know, I was reading this week, and these thoughts came to me, and I said, what a blessing it is that we have as God's people to read the Word of God and in fellowship with John and the apostles. We're fellowshipping with what they saw, what they heard. Now, what they seen with their eyes, we're fellowshipping in those same things by the Holy Spirit through the ministry of the Word. Oh, what a blessing. feeding 5,000 people. I was thinking about that. What a blessing that must have been. Here was 5,000 men, besides women and children. They had a few loaves of fish and a few fish. And Christ, to have them all set down in 50s. Can you imagine? 5,000 besides women and children. And he took those. What's amazing to me, once you think about this. Now, these fish were already cooked, and the bread was already baked. He took that food that was already prepared and multiplied it to feed over 5,000 fish that was already cooked and bread that was already baked. You know, that's amazing what God can do. But again, with God, what did he say? Nothing is impossible. There they saw a miracle, and we can share in on that, the feeding of 5,000. The Lord, like the manna that came from heaven, fed the Israelites. I just read that this week when after they were in Exodus. When you get in the book of Exodus, that heavenly manna. Jesus, and they said they gathered up 12 baskets full. They had left over. Oh, beloved, we can share in on that blessing as we read these truths, and God makes them real in our hearts. Feeding of the 12,000, 5,000. Heals two blind men. You know, it was prophesied of the Messiah. He would raise the dead. He would heal the blind and do all the things that he would do. And you know the story of the two blind men that cried to him, Lord, heal us of our blindness. And they kept, Son of David, have mercy on us. And he healed their blindness. You remember the story of blind Bartimaeus. He was healed. And then as raising the dead, Jesus, that was the sign of him being the Messiah. What? Raising the dead. These were all signs of the Messiah being the true Messiah. He had the power to heal. He had the power to save. He had the power to raise the dead. What was that witnessing of? He was the true Messiah that was to come into the world. And that's what he told. Go back and tell John when John started having doubts. The poor have the gospel preached unto them. The dead are raised from the dead. The sick are afflicted or being healed. And John knew these are the things that was written about the Messiah. And it was an evidence that Jesus was the true Messiah that came into the world. He raised the daughter of a synagogue ruler, Matthew 5, 35 through 43. Remember the day when Jesus was transfigured? At the Mount of Transfiguration? And remember, all the apostles didn't see that. So John saw it. John, James, and Peter are the three that saw the transfiguration of Christ. And John recorded it. John recorded in his gospel the transfiguration. It's mentioned the others, but they wasn't there. So John saw it personally. So he's writing about that. And it said they saw his glory. He was changed. He became so bright that words couldn't explain it. How glory his glory was. I believe he'll be like that in heaven. The glory of God will shine down in Christ, and he'll just be just, it's going to be beautiful. When we behold, he said he prayed in John 17, verse 24, that they may behold my glory and be with me. Behold his glory. I'm looking forward to the day when I can look upon our Savior and behold his glory as the God-man. I believe the Godhead will be manifested in Christ, the Father and the Son through Jesus Christ, the man. And the Holy Spirit will be manifested through him. The glory of God will be in his temple. Oh, that must have been something. Because Peter got so excited. He said, Lord, should I build three booths here? One for you, one for this, Moses, one for Elijah. Should I make three booths? He didn't know what to say. But the glory of God. Oh, and God showed forth his glory there. So these are some of the things that they saw with their eyes. These are not fairy tales. These are not things they made up. These are things that they witnessed, and they're testifying to that. Another thing that we see in that verse, which we have looked upon. Now you say, what's the difference? If he saw things with his eyes, why is he saying, now it's a different Greek word used here. The other was in the perfect tense, and this verb here is in the aorist tense. That just speaks of an action taking place in past time. This word has to do with having a more closer look at something. You know, you see something, what is that? Then you get real close and you observe it closer to see what it is. This is what this verse is emphasizing. Like a theater, you go to a theater and you're watching a play. You say, I want to get closer so I can see better, you know. And so it means to gaze upon. They saw him with the eyes. Now they're gazing upon him. Gazing upon him. They look. They to gaze upon, to behold, A view would attentively contemplate. They looked with a contemplation that was a mingling of wonder, awe, and admiration. Like the day when he calmed the sea, they wondered. Wow, is that amazing? See, they were contemplating, they were looking upon what he was doing. More than just looking at him with the eyes, now they're starting to look at him closer. Who is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. It was God manifested in flesh. And it said, and he went up on them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. That's showing how they were amazed. They was looking upon him with wonder. Oh, beloved, they were blessed. They were blessed to see so many things. The next word we see is, and our hands have handled. That's a verb also. To handle, to touch, feel, to examine closely. The verb means to handle with a view to investigate. To investigate. So we see there's three senses here. The sense of hearing, the sense of sight, and the sense of touch. John wants us to know that the apostles, and himself included, used their senses to hear Christ teach, to see Christ, hearing him, seeing him, and touching him. Remember, he told Thomas, reach forth thy hand, Thomas, and touch my side. A spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me have. He had a real body after his resurrection as he had before the resurrection. And John is the one, whom Jesus loved, it says he leaned upon his breast and said, Lord, who is this going to betray you when he instituted the Lord's Supper? He was close to Christ. John the apostle, the one who wrote John in epistles and Revelation, was very close to Christ. So they touched him and they leaned close to him. In everyday conversation, and what's he emphasizing? They used no senses, hearing and sight and touch. He's saying he had a real body. He was not a phantom. He was not a ghost. He was counteracting this heresy that he was only a phantom. He wasn't real, and he's bringing out the truth by using things that we can understand. We know what it means to see. We know what it means to hear. We know what it means to touch. And John is giving us a reality of the reality of our faith should be rested on truth and not in a fantasy. So what a blessing it is as we think about this, that our Savior had a real body, a real body. He had, and we saw him through the eye of faith. We hear him through the eye of faith in his word. And we touch him through the eye of faith. Oh, what a blessing it is. Then we come down to the last part of this verse. And it says, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. Of the word of life. Now, the theme of the message today is concerning the word of life. Everything that we've said so far, there's a preposition toward the end of this verse, which is that thing of is a preposition, means concerning the word of life. And that the word is called logos. Life is life, as we're going to see, is all life. And we'll get into that. So now we're looking at the word of life, concerning the word of life. Everything that we've seen this morning was concerning who? The word of life. We're preaching. Who are we preaching about? It's concerning who? The word of life. Genesis 3:15, when he gives the first promise. Who's that concerning? The Lord Jesus Christ. All the sacrifices in the Old Testament, who did they point to? What was it concerning? It was concerning the word of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming into the world. The apostles, everything they wrote in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all the apostles, all their writings concerning what? The word of life, Jesus Christ. It's all about him. It's all about him. It's his story, beloved. It's his story. Concerning the word of life. Jesus is called the Logos. In John 1:1, remember we saw that earlier. In the beginning was the word. We'll turn over there. I'll read that so I don't misquote it. John 1:1, in beginning was the Word, that's the word Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 3 it says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In verse 4, in Him was life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now remember this, Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. All physical life, who created the physical world? Jesus. Who gave the earth its existence? Jesus. Who created the animals and the birds and the insects and all the things in this world and then created man and woman? God did. Who gave them life? Jesus did. He's the giver of all life. Who gives us wisdom? Even natural wisdom. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who controls all things, and He gives to each individual as He pleases. So we see this. And in verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Word was made flesh. In time, God came to be manifested in flesh. And remember, for the purpose of reconciling us to God and purging our sins and bringing us unto glory will be the final consummation of all things. And notice also in Revelation chapter 19, if you'll turn there, Revelation 19. And we'll look at verse 13. Well, we'll read, to keep the context, we'll read with verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his hand were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Who's that talking about? The Logos, the Word of God. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's called the Word of God, the Word of God. And again, if you look at Hebrews chapter 4, you'll see another comment about the Word. Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll begin reading with verse 12. It says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, some people think that's talking about the written Word, but this is talking about the Word of God, Jesus Christ. Why? Look at verse 13. It explains it. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in His sight. This is talking about the living Word, not the written Word, in His sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. So the Word there in that verse is referring to the living Word, Jesus Christ. His Word is like a sharp sword piercing to the very intents of our heart. When He applies His Word to our hearts, it pierces, and everything is open unto the eyes of Him whom we have to do. And in the book of Acts, as we think about the Word of life, in Acts chapter 3, and then verse 15, Acts 3 and verse 15, and they killed the Prince of Life. He's called the Prince of Life. In Christ is life. He's called the Prince of Life. And they killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, wherefore we are witnesses. They were witnesses that He was the Prince of Life. And in John 11:25, we will close with this verse. This is a wonderful verse. I didn't get a lot of encouragement from this verse. Jesus says about the resurrection of Lazarus, and He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. If you look at that verse, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus is not only the resurrection, He was resurrection. He had the power to raise the dead. He had the power to give spiritual life. He has the power to give physical life to a baby that's born. That baby, when it's born, gets physical life from who? From Jesus Christ. He has everything in His control. All things are in His control. Now, we'll see in the next sermon I get to. Now, we'll be probably dealing with verse 2 and 3 together. We'll see how the Lord leads me. We will see in the next verse that John wants us to have fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, the Word of life, Jesus Christ. How is your fellowship with the Lord today? Do you want to have more fellowship with the Lord? Then study the Word. Read the Word. Meditate in the Word. And ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, as I read these accounts of what Christ taught and what He did, the miracles, make them real to me. By faith, I want to see Him do those things. Can you imagine seeing Him when He raised the dead? Wow. They must have just sat back and they were amazed at what they saw. And this is just a glimpse of what John is trying to bring to us. He was a witness of these things. He said, I want you to share on these things. I want you to understand and enjoy what I saw. By faith, as you read my words and you bring them and you meditate upon what Christ taught, I want those things to become real to you that you can have fellowship with us. I write this thing that your joy may be full. I want, you know, the Lord says, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. Fill my cup, Lord. You know, we say, fill my cup. I want my cup to be running over with the blessings of God. I hope a few of the things I said this morning will be a blessing to you and encourage you to get into the Word of God and to really study it. And this is just a few things this morning that I brought out that you can see what's in God's Word. And I hope by God's grace to bring you verse by verse what God was trying, what John, through the Holy Spirit, was bringing to teach us. I'm trying not to get too far to the left or too far to the right. I'm trying to stay inside the context. So you pray for me. May we pray. Father, we thank You for the message this morning. And we pray that You'll bless it to our souls and help us to read the Word of God with faith, that we might encourage ourselves in the Lord and to walk by faith and to look forward to the second coming of Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. Does someone have a song in closing?